God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In our epistle reading for today, St. Paul is talking to the Romans about an upcoming visit. And in that visit, our text is based off of one verse. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation." This is our text. I'm going to pick up on the word shame for a moment because St. Paul uses it. He says he is not ashamed of the gospel. And we may consider, who would ever be ashamed of the gospel? I mean, we're talking about a gospel message of forgiveness of sins, a gospel message of love, a gospel message of restoration, of life. But unfortunately, shame is something that is very, very powerful and something we usually don't talk about. It's a very painful emotion, usually caused by guilt or some sort of shortcoming in our lives. And shame is so powerful that it may even lead people to violence or even suicide. We may associate shame with feelings of worthlessness, being unlovable, unredeemable, or even being shunned and cut off by humanity. And shame strikes deepest in our hearts. It attacks the soul. In one essence, it can be considered a sickness of the soul. It saddens the soul. And we live in a world where there seems to be a lot of shame being tossed around. We may have heard phrases that may create shame, such as, "Pull yourself together. Don't be a baby. You don't have to be a friend." And we may have those shaming voices within us. And as we do, the damage is the soul. It tears apart who God created. And it creates within us a self-criticism that may come up with a conclusion that, you know, you might be stupid, selfish, or a show-off, which is designed for a particular purpose. This is what shame accomplishes. It stops us. It gets us stuck in life. It prohibits us from going forward. We might be doing really well in life until shame sort of enters, and then we get stuck exactly where we are. We live in a world that uses a lot of shame, and it's nothing new to our world. Even during the time of St. Paul, unfortunately, shame existed. So St. Paul, who is writing to the Romans, which we also need to hear for today, notes that he will not be ashamed of the gospel. And again, we sort of beg the question, who would ever be ashamed of the gospel? Why would the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ ever cause us to get stuck in life? This is a freeing gospel. This is a liberating gospel, a gospel of restoration, a gospel of love, and a gospel of forgiveness. How could anyone ever be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Let me answer that with another question. When was the last time you told someone about this precious gospel, about the death of our resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, about the forgiveness of sins, about the love that he has for someone? Now we may get a better understanding of shame. You see, we have been shamed by our own society to even stop sharing the cure for shame. Sounds kind of strange. We live in a world where people say, you know, keep your religion to yourself. Don't share it with me. Who do you think you are? We live in a world where there's lots of criticisms about even the word Jesus. That same word, that same person that comes and brings life, brings the forgiveness of sins, and now a society is rebelling against him. And it's even almost gotten to the point where it brings about shame, mentioning his word, his name, in public. Sure, we can do it in the confine of our small little family here of the church. But to do it outside, in the workplace, may bring shame. Now we can see the powerful works that shame can bring in our society. And before I pick on society too much, let me also say, even within the confines of our little family here, we still can use shame. Shame isn't just relegated to the society out there. Unfortunately, it even exists within our own families and even within the Christian church. When was the last time someone ever came up to you and said, you know, I'm not a Christian? And how was your response? Did you sort of back up and say, what, you're not a Christian? You know, something like, you've got some sort of plague or some sort of disease. That in one essence is a form of shame. There's another interesting form of shame that happened to me as a little boy. I was attending sort of a church group, so to speak, where there were games and there was activities, but in this group, it wasn't Lutheran, but doesn't necessarily mean it doesn't occur in Lutheran church. There was also Bible memorization. And I will admit, as a little boy, I was not focused upon Bible memorization. And I frustrated the adult leaders drastically because I could not memorize John 3:16, the Bible verse, that is. I even had an adult leader spend many times and many moments sitting down with me trying to memorize that one little verse. To no avail. I left feeling shame, feeling that I was a lousy person, and apparently God didn't want me. Not all Christians can memorize John chapter 3, verse 16, nor does memorizing a simple Bible verse make you a Christian. But unfortunately, sometimes we bring about shame in other people's lives even without knowing about it. The gospel message is not about shame, just the opposite. It's about freedom. The gospel message is not about how you have to do something to appease God. It's about what Christ Jesus and Christ has done for you. It is Christ Jesus who dies to restore you, to redeem you, to give you eternal life. We say these words over and over again, but are they sinking in? Do you come here today because you have a life that has been victimized by shame? Have you come here today because you have a life that has been plagued with some guilt or the burden of sin? And you have come here for healing, then you have come for the right place. Because it is that gospel message that brings that healing. It is that gospel message that brings that restoration. It's not about how many Bible passages you can memorize. It's not about whether you are married, single, or even divorced. You know, one of those words that also, unfortunately, can create shame. The gospel is about restoration of our soul. Healing, not about weighing it down with more great burdens. St. Paul notes in our gospel reading, in our epistle reading for today, that the gospel is the power of God for salvation, not for slavery or the death of a soul. St. Paul was coming to the Romans to bring a wonderful message, a freeing message, a message that he was not going to allow society to shut. No matter how hard they tried. Why? How did he get past the shame in his life? He was touched by God. He understood the power of that gospel message. The power of that gospel message that says, I believe in Christ Jesus. That is the most important thing. I will not allow the messages of society, my friends or my family, weigh me down in that proclamation. Nothing was going to stop St. Paul. Even the guilt of his own past in persecuting the early Christian church, talk about ghosts or skeletons in his past. He had great ones. But talk about now the power of salvation. That frees, that forgives, restores, and renews, and can even pick someone like Paul to preach and proclaim the gospel. If the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can change someone from Saul, who persecuted the Christian church, to Paul, one of the greatest evangelists, what can he do for you in your life? In lifting this burden of shame and guilt with love and forgiveness. The death of Jesus Christ upon the cross brings that love and forgiveness to us. Do you believe it? Do you trust it? Do you truly believe that, yes, you have been forgiven, that you've been restored, you've been healed? Then don't let the shame of this world get you stuck. Believe and trust that there is something more powerful than guilt and shame. That's the power of the gospel, which brings salvation. Paul wasn't going to use shame to get his message across. He's going to use the gospel for restoration. So if we have been shamed, if we have shamed others, is there forgiveness? You better believe. We turn to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We return to the cross for the restoration of our shamed, the restoring of our sick, soul-sickened life, the return to the healing powers of the God of salvation that comes to us simply in His Word. As Christ touches us in our lives, with His Word being proclaimed, His Word read, and His Word coming to us with His own body and blood through that bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins. We return to the Christ who eases our burdens, who loves us even in the midst of when we fall. And if we feel shame and guilt, He still loves us and lifts us up and restores us. For the power, and that Greek word here, is dunamis, which, as in the English sort of word, has sort of arisen from it, which is dynamite. You see, the power of God can dynamite, can explode, can shatter the effects of shame in our lives. As it made a conversion for Saul into Paul, through Christ, we are also converted. It shatters the shame in our lives so that we can live with Christ forever and ever in perfect healing when our time comes to be with Him in heaven above. Until that time, however, again, we just return to the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because even this word proclaim can change your lives. It can fill you with that love, that joy, that peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and understanding that only God can give. Yes, we have a world that dishes out a lot of shame and guilt, but we have a Savior who through His death and resurrection has conquered the world to give you life, peace, and salvation. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.